Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends like my friend Neely Piazza. Well, we don't let friends feed kibble, now do we, Miss P?
No, ma'am.
Miss Piazza. Miss Pizza. Pizza with an attitude. I like it a lot. Hey, Niels. So we get these questions sometimes that are hard to explain, like how do you compare the protein in a wet food versus a dry food? And they're not the same, folks. So if you're seeing protein on the back of a bag, you sent me this thing from Dr. Connor Brady, Niels, that he had posted on his Facebook page. And he said, you know, pet foods sold in the veterinary clinics are notorious for adding completely undigestible waste ingredients from the human food processing industry, such as beet pulp, corn gluten pulp, soybean hull. And he said, those are in there. Why? To boost the protein content on the label in the cheapest way possible, even though the veterinary prescription diets, he says, even though these dogs can't digest this crap in there.
Yeah, it's a total racket. So you have hydrolyzed proteins, and then you have low quality proteins. You have protein that's not bioavailable, not usable, certainly not optimal. And, you know, the actual numbers are not comparable either, because kibble is listed on a dry matter basis and raw is listed as fed basis, you know, with the moisture in it. And so some people will say that raw is like the shorthand is the 80-10-10 thing, and they'll say 80% protein, 10% bone, 10% organ. And people take that to mean that it's like 80% protein. Well, it's usually 70-75% moisture, so it's not realistically 80% protein. That shorthand means that 80% of what's in the bowl is like muscle meat, more or less, is kind of what that shorthand means. And so if you're going to compare one to the other as far as amount, like just number amounts, you have to convert everything to either an as-fed basis or a dry matter basis. And then you have to take into account the bioavailability, which is what you were just saying, you know. So raw food is ours anyway, is all real meat, real food, real stuff. There's no added in, none of that other stuff added in. Whereas the kibble and even canned food has got all kinds of industrialized bits and pieces and isolates, and like you'll see protein isolate, pea protein, tapioca. What are some other ones that he listed? I can't remember. I haven't looked at a label in a while to remember what all they're listed as, but a lot of times they're just isolates. And we've talked about that before. It, you know, nutrients don't work in isolation. So, right. So why is it they can isolate nutrients, but they can't isolate viruses? Oh, wait, that's another story.
We're talking about protein. Down. We're going to shut you down, put a mask back on your face. Okay.
I never wore one.
I know.
That
so,
was the hill I proclaimed to die on.
Right, right. So he does sell, he says, listen, remember the next time you're looking at a puppy dry food with 22% protein in it. He said the legal minimum you're allowed to include in a kibble and call it complete, which is not the optimum. Okay. Because that's what's in raw dog food. It's optimum. He says studies show a chunk of that protein is unavailable to the pup. And he said, and now your pup is trying to grow a frame on a protein deficient diet. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Here. I agree with that. So.
Yeah. And then on top of that, he said, you need to figure out how to work out the carb content, because that's a whole nother thing. So not only do we have crap protein that is not bioavailable to your dog, now we've got a high sugar. Okay. We've got high sugar. So basically what you guys are going to add up is going to be the protein, the fat, the water, and the ash. No. Yeah. The moisture and the ash. Okay.
And what's left is carbs.
Right. And so
because they conveniently don't list those because they don't want you to know that.
Right. And he goes, he said, this is belly busting cancer and pancreatitis aggravating this type of food. That's what he calls it. Belly busting, yep. Cancer and pancreatitis aggravating cheap carbohydrate filler.
Right.
He said, when you've got a cheap product that's 53% sugar mixed with stewed up cow's toenails, it's difficult to absorb mineral supplement.
Made by a candy company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's right. I mean, he's right on the money with all that.
Yeah, he's right. And we've been saying that for how long? Come on now.
I know. We've been saying that for years.
I don't know. I think it's because we need to write a book.
Yeah, right? I guess we should.
So here's a simple analysis, guys, that he put in this. It was on his Facebook. He said the protein content of canned food versus a dry food. Okay, so a canned food obviously is still going to have preservatives and everything, but it is a wet food. So he said in the guaranteed analysis, and we're just going to talk about protein, on the canned food that is high in moisture, the protein lists as 10%. On the dry food, they list it as 23%. But he said, when you actually compare apples to apples and remove the water, you've got 40% protein in the canned and 26% protein in the dry. And again, that dry is jacked up with all the gut busting stuff he was talking about.
But most of the canned is too.
Yeah. In this analysis, your canned food or your raw is going to have far more protein. Raw is going to have the right kind of protein versus the guaranteed analysis that they have on the dry bags. The stamp of AASCO, it's sort of like the wolf guarding the
hen house,
because they're the ones that are getting to decide what you see on the outside of the bag and how difficult they make it for you to figure out, so that they can sell you, as Dr. Brady says, that cheap, gut busting, cancer, pancreatitis aggravating food.
I know we've pointed this out before, but sometimes it goes unnoticed. AAFCO is not a government agency. It's an independent regulatory agency that literally is the wolf guarding the hen house, because it's put together by industry. It's industry regulating itself. So you'll need to realize that. That's part of the reason why I'm constantly saying, if it says AAFCO approved or meets AAFCO requirements, run yelling and screaming the other direction, because it's industry regulating itself, and that never ends well.
Right.
So y'all need to get that in your brain that AFCO is not a legitimate meter for any kind of quality control or any kind of legitimate requirements, nutritional requirements, or anything like that.
It's so strange the way that they formulate committees in order to protect a committee and make it look like this committee is actually regulating that committee.
I know, right? It's, yeah, all convoluted, but they're not even, they're not a government agency at all. Not that that would make it any better. That might even make it worse. I don't know, but that's just something to realize that they do not 100% do not have you or your dog's best interest at heart by any stretch. They're all about the bottom line. Hydrolyzed protein is air and cardboard.
You know what? It was like corn, soybean oil, canola oil, and chicken liver was basically all that was in there. And I was like, how does that work? How in the world can a dog survive on that, Neely? There can't be any. And then you're putting in the other toxins. And people want to know why their dog acts like they're starving all the time. I would be starving too if I ate corn, soybean oil, and chicken liver.
Well, soybean oil is toxic in any way, shape, or form to any animal. Seed oils in general are not a good idea. Well, there's more than that. They're a horrible idea.
right.
And, you know, particularly for dogs, I mean, any kind of plant-based oil for dogs is I'm not a fan of.
But
seed oils are even dangerous. People still think that canola is quote unquote heart healthy and unacceptable cooking oil and a good oil to use and all that kind of stuff. Well, there's no such thing as non-GMO or organic canola oil, regardless of what the label says, because canola is rapeseed, which should tell you one thing. I mean, it's called rapeseed, for goodness sake. How is that good? How can that possibly be good? And it's all been converted into quote unquote canola. Canola is one of the absolute worst oils you can use for anything. I won't buy anything that has canola oil in it.
So that would be a great question. If you just asked that one question of your vet, when they are saying your dog is, you know, allergic to everything, so we're going to put them on hydrolyzed protein. Well, first, you just need to not do that and get on a raw diet. But if you insist on going down the hydrolyzed protein, ask them, what will the seed oils, the canola oil, and the corn do to my dog's already problem skin and gut? That's what I would ask them. And that would be an extremely fun answer for me to hear.
Yeah, well, you know, most of them are going to say, oh, well, this is backed by research. It's good. It's fine.
Well, you can back by research all you want, but how about we back by the response of the animal?
100% okay? Agree, but I'm just saying that's the answer you're going to get.
Okay. If you get that answer, then I would say, of how many dogs have you put on this diet and how is their skin and their gut today? And they can say anything they want.
If they tell you to get on to put them on that diet, just walk out.
There you go. That's probably a better.
Don't argue with them. You're not going to change their mind. Just say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't agree with fake food, and walk out. I mean, if it's somebody you feel like you can plant your seed with to make them question something or somebody you can actually have a discussion with, that's one thing. But a good portion of the time, that's not the case. Just walk out.
Mm-hmm.
They work for you, not the other way around.
You know, I'm over on Truth Social. Raw Dog Food and Company is over on Truth Social, and they've got Dogs of Truth, and they post all these great pictures of these dogs. But I'm looking at this one dog, Niels. He's eating ice cream from McDonald's.
Oh, God. I would be willing to bet that that's not even real ice cream, which makes it even that much worse.
Well, come on, Neely. It's McDonald's. It's all real. That's good food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want a cancer causing, what does he call it? Pancreatitis aggravating food. I like how he said that.
I know. He's like me. He doesn't hold back.
Just go ahead and put that puppuccino or that ice cream right there. So I heard someone the other day, Niels, they said that their husband was giving their dog half and half at night, and they don't know why he's kind of fat and got the runs.
Half and half dairy? Like creamer?
Yes.
Half and half?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's probably not a good idea. Why is he doing that?
I don't know. I'm always befuddled and baffled at the all of the things that go into dogs' bodies that are inappropriate. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And here's what I think it is. I think it makes us feel better. Not us, but people. It makes people feel better to give their dog something that they feel like is a yummy treat.
Well, maybe you should give them something healthy that they think is a yummy treat. That's pretty easy.
Right. There's so many real food things. Now, people may say, well, half and half's real food. Well, not really.
Not really. Look on the back of it. It's definitely going to be pasteurized and homogenized. That's the first problem. And then a lot of it, depending on what brand it is going to have gums and thickeners and emulsifiers in it. So you want to look at that. I mean, there's some that don't, but a good portion of them do. So look at that. If it doesn't just say heavy cream and whole milk.
On your consults that you do, obviously you're looking at everything that's going into the dog's body. Do you find that people are really confused on what is good and what is not good to put in their dog's body?
Some are. Just like some of the people you talk to, a lot of times people don't think to tell you certain things because it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't come to mind, or they don't remember, or they don't think that it could possibly be an issue or something like that, you know. But basically, any more than one ingredient treat is automatically suspect.
But you and I are very different on our recommendations on veggies.
Are we?
I think maybe. I don't do a lot of veggies. You do more veggies than I think I do, at least for my dogs. My dogs really, Asa doesn't eat any veggies. I mean, yes, she'll eat the HVMs, right? So 7% fruits and veggies that we have. But to put any kale in her bowl, to put any broccoli in her bowl, she's like, I'm not having it. Now, Lozzie, she didn't really care.
People that are just like adamantly anti-veg, just like to the core anti, you know, say that that veg is toxic and all that kind of stuff. And then there's the other side that thinks you should feed 50 to 70% veg or something
what?
Like that.
So that's,
I know, I'm just saying. So my whole take on it is, the veg is more for the bugs than for the dog, but the bugs produce things that are helpful. You know, they produce some vitamins and some factors and all that are very beneficial and even necessary for the dog itself. Because, you know, the dog's not really gonna, I mean, they'll get, if you, you know, if you pulverize it and all that, they're going to get some nutritional value, but it's mostly for the bugs. And there are some dogs that just don't like veg, and that's fine. And mine just get the, you know, my vegetable scraps. I don't even really, and, you know, they just like it. So that's just what's kind of like a bonding in the kitchen activity. But, you know, I feel like there should be, there needs to be some sort of something in there. So if people are, and one way to sneak it in is with tripe. I used to prep veg and include it in everything consistently, and I'm a little more sporadic now, but they always get tripe and they always get my vegetable scraps. I don't know. I usually say 10%, 15 max, but average out to around 10% total veg.
So one of the people that would say veggies don't want to be eaten. Veggies have a natural defense mechanism, right, to keep predators from eating them, which is toxic, is Dr. Paul Saladino. He's the carnivore MD, right? I had him on the podcast a couple of years ago. But, you know, he absolutely eats zero veg. So here's what he eats. He eats in a day. This is roughly what he eats. And he says that he has cured like eczema. He's cured all of his, you know, illnesses. Now he's out in Costa Rica. He hunts with the Hazda Indians and all that kind of jazz, the tribes. So he's really getting clean food. But here's what he eats. 2 pounds of meat a day, which is about 200 grams of protein in a day. He adds beef suet, so that's fat, right? Egg yolks, salmon roes, raw honey, and organs, kidney, liver, heart, spleen, pancreas, testicles, and bone marrow. That's what he eats.
He's not a dog.
Wasn't comparing him to a dog. I was just saying, here's this human being, right? Because if you look at veg, right, it seems like it's all about human beings and some of the things that we do with dogs, right? We're like, hey, I eat Puppuccino, so I'm going to get, I eat whipped cream from Starbucks, so let me give it to you. Hey, I eat this half and half, let me give it to you. So that's all I was saying.
I don't think that either extreme, you know, strictly 100% carnivore or strictly 100% vegan, I don't think either extreme is right for in every situation for every person. In general terms, when you commit to something like that, like carnivore or veganism, vegetarianism, whatever, if you, or even paleo or any of that, the biggest thing you have to realize is none of those include crap food, simple carbohydrates, all that kind of stuff. None of those disciplines include that. So if you take out all of the toxic food that you're eating, any of those disciplines are going to benefit you for a certain amount of time. Each body is different. Each dog is different. Each human is different. Each organism is different. They have different histories. They have different propensities. They have different previous damage. They're just different. So there's different pieces on the continuum that are going to work differently for each one. So, you know, if dog doesn't like veg, won't eat it. Fine, feed it tripe, but you have to keep the biome. You have to nourish the biome, right? Appropriate veg is the easiest way to do that. There's definitely inappropriate veg, you know, potatoes, starchy stuff, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's inappropriate. I'm talking about just stuff that's going to feed the bugs in the gut and all that. On a personal note, I used to eat nothing but meat, and I can't do that anymore. you know, I've done both extremes.
Well, when you're cranky, I think you do need a big, rare bloody steak.
Well, now we've talked about this. I do that on occasion. And let me tell you, they are more than bloody. They're usually like straight up cold and raw.
Yeah.
Dr.
Paul Saladino does have a tier one carnivore-ish diet, he calls it. In this one, he said, some least toxic plant foods are allowed. And examples of these are non-sweet fruits, such as squash, avocados, cucumber without the skin and seeds, olives, and seasonal berries. But then he's also like, don't drink tea, coffee, or alcohol. And I'm like, well, no can do, Bubbaloo.
Yeah, I ain't giving up coffee. That's, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do anything.
You do cuss.
Not nearly as much as I used to.
Especially not on the air.
Yeah, I'm pretty good on the air.
I have to edit Dr. Andy's because she cusses, but nobody ever hears her because I edit it out. I'm always like, I got to cut that word out.
I try to keep it under wraps when we're recording, but I just overall, I don't cuss nearly as much as I used to.
That's good, dadgummit. Yeah. So you don't do the Beyond Beef, though. You don't do
Oh, heck no. You almost made me do it.
You almost cussed.
I almost let one fly. No, that stuff. No, no fake food. No fake food of any kind. Period.
Right. That is just. Ooh. Yeah, that's crazy, crazy, crazy. Yeah, and you know, you might come back at some time. Oh, the other thing he does is raw goat's milk. Raw goat's milk. He does do that.
I can do goat cheese, but man, goat's milk just, I'm going to be blunt. It tastes like ass. I can't do it.
You cussed.
That's not a cuss word. That's descriptive. That's the only way to describe it. I can't do goat's milk.
I like
goat cheese.
Yeah, I like goat cheese. So, you know, our daughter had milk cows and they were milking the cows and drinking the milk, and my husband loved it. And I was like, that's like ass. No, I don't like it. I don't like it. It was just kind of weird to me, but they did butter and they did cream and, you know, they liked it.
Raw goat milk. All right. I'm sorry. Raw cow's milk. I can do that. And part of the reason I used to, when I was growing up, I loved milk. And part of the reason I can't do it is because I know what they do to it and what's actually in it. But if you know somebody that has a cow and you get it fresh from the cow, like I have a friend that lives in Wyoming that does that. And every once in a while I'll get some from her and it's good. If you're going to drink milk, drink raw, real raw milk.
It's against the law.
Well,
to find it or to sell it, I guess, in the store. Why did they do that, Niels? I mean, they're trying
to kill us,
right? But I'm saying, what was the hoopla around that?
Well, I think there's a whole bunch of factors, but the biggest one that sticks out in my mind is, you know, they started doing dairies and centralizing all that and getting away from like small family owned and kind of got more into big things. They were feeding cows brewery waste. So that's why you'll have a huge brewery right outside of the stockyards. Kind of, you know, it's like that in Chicago. It's like that in Fort Worth too, I think, which are the two biggest stockyards that I know of. And so they were feeding cows the spent grains from the breweries. And so they were producing nasty milk. And it was like, if I remember right, it was like the milk was like, the cows were sickly and the milk was like blue. And they were feeding it to babies and babies were getting sick and dying. So, of course, they blame it on on the bacteria. So then it just turned into being, you know, you have to pasteurize it and homogenize it because you're mixing all these milk from all these different cows together, which that in itself to me is disgusting. It's mostly because they don't want us to have access to real food, and that's just gradually progressed over the last century and a half.
There's carrageenan in so much of the pasteurized milk, right? Even in your oat milks and all that different kind of stuff. You look at the carrageenan and stuff. I don't drink that.
That's one of the things I was talking about the half and half thing too. And some brands it's in half and half and in the heavy cream, and there's all kinds of gums and carrageenan and all those things in there. I try to warn people off of dairy unless they have a cow and milk it themselves or can get raw milk one way or another. Organic milk is the same problem as organic meat. It just means they were fed organic grains, so that doesn't help. But anyway.
So I was going to ask you, if you're going to suggest veg, what do you suggest?
So dark leafy greens, collards and kale and spinach and broccoli and cabbage and asparagus and cucumbers, some squashes, berries for sure, things like that.
Okay. Well, that's a lot. That's a lot. So you can do variety there, but don't forget, you got to do variety in your proteins, guys. You got to do variety. We had someone the other day, Niels, and they mostly feed turkey PMR. And he was saying that the dogs vomit on tripe.
That's pretty unusual. Usually when something like that, there's something else. There's some other something going on, but you have to rotate proteins. You need a poultry, you need a ruminant, you need fish if you can possibly do it. Some dogs don't like fish either, so some dogs you have to do something different for that component. But you can't just stick to one. Well, I won't say you can't, so never say never, but in general it's not good because each protein has a different amino acid profile, has a different fatty acid profile, it has you know, it's different. So that's the way you fill in your gaps, is with variety of proteins, variety of organs, and a small amount of I think a small amount of veg is appropriate. You know, I would never do more than 10%.
I do know that some people think that that their dog's allergic to everything, but
not possible, people, not a thing. True allergies are incredibly, incredibly rare, if non-existent. And if you think your dog is allergic to everything, it's because he's toxic and we need to clean everything out and start over. It doesn't have anything to do with, and if you did an allergy test, they're like 99% inaccurate. So, I mean, it's a waste of money. Just don't even, it's not anything to go by.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. You can work with Neely Piazza. If you have a dog that appears to have allergies, that it appears that it is allergic to everything, let's not put our dog on a hydrolyzed protein diet. Okay.
Please don't do that.
Let's go this direction first. Let's put them on a pure raw diet. Take all of the crap out of it. You can work with Neely. She can help you detox your dog. She can help you with the itchies while we're getting this dog straightened out. You want to work with Neely Piazza. All you have to do, it's super simple. You go to the Learning Center. There's also places on the website where it says book the nutritionist. That is Neely. You just click on that or go to the health consult. She's the very first one there. Click on that. She's going to get right back with you. And then you guys are going to work out a time and payment and all that kind of jazz. And you are off to the races. And Neely, you have people coming back to you over and over and over again.
I've been on a run of repeats lately. It's been great. So people have, you know, gotten started and have moved along in their journey and are ready to, you know, problems are going away. And so they're ready to revamp everything, you know? So,
Yeah, it's an awesome, awesome service. Well worth your time, well worth your dog's health to get in touch with Neely Piazza. Get your dog on a species appropriate diet, guys. That is your first step. Okay. We got to get, as Dr. Connor Brady would say, the cancer causing gut, what did he say? Pancreatitis.
Pancreatitis causing
food out of their body. Get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, my friend Neely Piazza?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
That's right. We'll see you guys soon. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.